First of all, I'd like to pass on some greetings that Cheryl and I received from the Mount Vernon congregation last week. We were there helping them with their service last week, and I think I can speak for both of us when I say that this is an amazing group of people. That it's a small group of people of about 15, 18 people, and they're really striving to build up a faith community like ours, and they're trying to emulate what we're doing here, and it's very heartening to see. And I think the more help we give them, the more they'll grow. And I think they would always enjoy visitors. So if you're ever in the area, I think you should stop by on a Sunday. Moving the fences. I'd like to tell a story to start this off this morning. This is a story that Gene Robinson always tells when he gives public talks. Gene Robinson is the Episcopal bishop, the first openly gay bishop that was been ordained in the Episcopal Church. And this is how he starts most of his public talks. I read this in this book. This is a biography of Gene Robinson called Going to Heaven, which I highly recommend. It's a fascinating book. When I read this story, I thought, this really struck me as to what, this is exactly what Unitarian Universalism is, and this is exactly what we need to strive for. There were four soldiers in Europe during World War II. One of them was killed, and the other three find a church and a priest and ask them to bury their friend. The priest does so, but the cemetery in the churchyard is consecrated ground only for baptized Christians. He asks the others about their friend's religious background, whether he was baptized, but they don't know, they answer. So the priest tells them that he can't bury the soldier in the churchyard, but they can bury him just outside the fence. After the war, the three friends are on their way home, and they decide to stop by the church to pay their respects to their friend. They find the church and go to where they remember burying him, but they can't find the grave. Disturbed, they seek out the priest. Yes, he says, I remember you. After you left to go back to the war, I started thinking about what I had told you, and it just seemed so wrong. I couldn't change where he was buried, but I did what I could. I moved the fence. To me, this speaks to the heart of what Unitarian Universalism is. How oftentimes that we are moving the fences. We all come from backgrounds, mostly, where we are pinned in by boundaries, pinned in by fences that of religious nature that people that we felt uncomfortable with, that we didn't feel right about. So we came here, we sought out a faith with other people who were on that same journey, and here we are together making this journey, and here we are together moving these fences, hopefully. It's so natural for people to build fences around each other. I think of Native American spirituality, where boundaries were alien, both spiritual and physical. No one owns the earth to the Native Americans. But what did the settlers first do when they came in? They started carving up the ground, putting up fences, and what was the greatest invention, according to the frontiersmen in the West in the 19th century, was barbed wire, where they put up their fences. They made parcels of land and said, this is my land, this is your land, don't come into my land. And I think the same thing is true with religion. This is my religion, these are my truths, and if you want to be part of it, then you have to believe the same thing I believe. Otherwise, don't come in. How often do we hear stories, and disturbing stories, speaking to my children and some of their friends? You have people at school, kids at school, and kids tend to be a little, they tend to get, you know, very into things, and they're, and especially religion, if they're part of a religion that stresses evangelism, they're enthusiastic, they want to spread this religion, but oftentimes they end up separating each other. How many times have we heard, so-and-so is not a real Christian, so-and-so goes to this church, they're not a real Christian, they can't sit with us, they can't be our friend. And if we're going to be real Christians, we have to separate ourselves from these people because they're bad examples. Back in my past life, when I was a Catholic, it was becoming increasingly harder to be outside what was becoming more mainstream in the Catholic Church. There were conservative values that were creeping in all over. And if you didn't adhere to these values, if you believed in birth control, if you believed in, if you were pro-abortion, if you believed in women becoming priests, if you believed in not having celibacy for priests, then you're not real Catholics, because you're not believing what the Pope believes or pronounces. You're not believing what the hierarchy pronounces. So therefore, you're not a real Catholic. And how many times in our country now, if we oppose the current administration, are we not real Americans? If you oppose this war, if you oppose the president, you're not a real American. How many times have we heard this? Moving the fences. The first reading that I read from Richard Rohr kind of expresses the thoughts and feelings that I had when I first came to this church, and that is that God is very mysterious, and rightly so, and we should not be afraid of this mystery. When I first walked into this church, the very first time we walked into this church, there was a friend of mine sitting in the back who I had had contact with in my, again, my past life as a Catholic. And he looked at me, and after about 5 minutes of his jaw being wide open, and when he finally recovered his senses, he said, "So this is what you've come to." And I smiled and I said, "Yeah, that's right." And he said, "John, there are no answers here. There's only questions. There are no answers here." And I said, "That's exactly why I'm here." I look back and I think back. That makes me think of the story in Genesis of Moses when he first encounters God. And he asks, "Who is this?" And God said, "I am." And Moses probably thought to himself, that's something like, "Who's on first?" And God said, "Tell the people that I am who is sent you." This shows to me that God has no boundaries. God is everything. I am everything. I am the God of the ancestors, the God of the present, the past, the future. This is the mystery of God. And what was really disturbing to me lately, too, is the dichotomy that we've built up between religious and secular. How many times have we heard that, you know, God's kingdom is here and the religious, the real world is out here, the secular world is here, and we need to avoid that. But why does there have to be a separation? If we believe in God, is this not all God's creation? Are we not all God's creation? And what people do are a consequence of that creation, whether it's right or wrong or bad or good. Back in one of the last Catholic churches that Diane and I and our family attended, we had a pastor there, and this was the last straw for us. He was always drawing this distinction, you know, this, you must do what is in God's world and forget about the secular world. This is not the real world. You need to be concerned about God's world. You need to be concerned about heaven and getting to heaven. Funny, I always thought the kingdom of God was here. Why do we need to make that distinction? Why are we building that fence between God's world and the secular world? Why is there a fence there? Why is there a boundary there? Also, in NPR, which I listen to as much as possible, there's a program on Sunday mornings which some of us don't always get to hear because we're on our way here, and that's called Speaking of Faith. The people at Mount Vernon were telling me, "Oh, that's no problem for us. We get it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon." So I was very envious of that. Thinking about that story I just told you about religious versus secular, I heard a story on Speaking of Faith about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which we've been talking about a lot in here recently. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was, to refresh your memory, was a Lutheran theologian, but he was also a pacifist at one time. But when he saw what the Nazis were doing, he decided he had to act. He couldn't just stand and sit on the sideline and not be a pacifist anymore. He did participate in an assassination plot of Hitler and was jailed for this and eventually died, sadly, just 1 month before the end of the war. But this is something that he wrote in prison, and this really struck me as a way to tear down that fence between religious and secular. He said, "I'm still discovering right up to this moment that it is by living completely in this world that one learns to have faith. By this worldliness, I mean living unreservedly in life's duties, problems, successes, and failures, experiences, and perplexities. In so doing, we throw ourselves completely in the arms of God, taking seriously not only our own sufferings, but those of God in the world. That, I think, is faith. This is a great summation to the way I feel about the relationship about the world and to God. Moving the fences. In today's world, we have a great opportunity now to join together with people of other faiths, and I think that's one of the beauties of this church, too, is that we can have people of other faiths come here. We've had Christian theologians, we've had Muslim women, we've had Jewish scholars, and we'll have more and much more of this come together and speak to us about their faith and speak to us how we can join together with them in creating a world that tears down those fences, moves those boundaries, because we're all one people under God. I'd like to read another reading. This speaks to the other part of the title of my talk, Looking for the Left Hand of God in Southern Illinois. Looking for the left hand in anything is difficult in today's world. We're always told that liberal left is wrong, conservative right is correct. This is from Rabbi Michael Lerner, and this book's called The Left Hand of God, Taking Back Our Country from the Religious Right. Michael Lerner founded a group called Tikkun recently and to try to break down some of those boundaries. The voice of fear has its reflection in religious language. According to the paradigm of fear, God and the religious path is primarily about creating boundaries and restraints, providing us with religious practices designed to prevent us from falling into needless temptations that surround us. Individuals find meaning for their lives by being aligned with the divine energy that is protecting them and that guides them in how to deal with all the dangers that they face. Frequently, the spiritual energy of the universe is perceived as uniquely on the side of a particular group or nation, even though virtually every nation or group believes that God is on their side. Further, God is envisioned as a warrior, powerful, combative, harsh in judgment. This is the right hand of God. In Judaism, the forces that make possible, that make change possible, is Yahweh, the God force of the universe. This God force is a force of healing and transformation, in the Hebrew, tikkun, is the ultimate reality of the universe, the force that has shaped the universe from the start, the truth whose will toward goodness is manifested in the command to pursue justice, to love one's neighbor as oneself, and never to oppress the stranger. This God is a loving being whose essential nature is compassionate, caring, forgiving, generous, and peace-loving. Even though God at times can be angry at the persistence of injustice and our indifference to the suffering we cause by participating in oppressive social or political systems, God wants us to care not only for ourselves, but for everyone on the planet, because we have all been created in the divine image. God needs us as partners in the healing and transformation of the world, as well as stewards for the well-being of the planet. This is how God is understood from the standpoint of the left hand of God. Moving the fences, looking for the left hand of God. We all have our own stories, our own feelings about the boundaries that we see, and the boundaries that we look to get rid of in our lives. I have a confession to make that when I first came to this church, I set up a huge fence that went extremely high that said, no conservative Christians come near, stay away. So it's a difficult job for me to kind of break that boundary, move that fence, and try to see that from their perspective, they're doing what they feel is right. But I think we just need to sit down and talk together and look at our common goals and our common experiences. I spoke to the Mount Vernon congregation about how wonderful it is that they are becoming a welcoming congregation, the same time that we're becoming a welcoming congregation. And that is, I think, a special boundary that's present in our society today, a boundary that's becoming more and more present, that needs to be torn down at every instance that we can. And that's between the people that are gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender in our society. We need to tear down those boundaries and be accepting of all people, no matter what their orientation is, no matter what their life is, their experience, their family life is. As our banner says, the outside hanging on the church, love makes families, not laws. Moving the fences. I'd like to borrow a line here in closing from our wonderful minister, Cleaver Van Zandt, and say that the time is here, the time is now, and together we can peacefully, gently move the fence, so that when our friends come looking for that which we buried inside the fence, they'll not only see that we moved it, but they'll see that we tore it down, but we left no trace or harm or injury to the ground.